Hello and welcome to The Learner's Voice. We in Adult Ed are dipping into the world of podcasts to meet our learners. We want you to hear the stories from them about how they found their way to us and how we were able to help. This series of podcasts are in celebration of Balbriggan Loves Learning. We are your hosts, Zara, and I'm Mel, and today's episode is with Anna, who fled the war from Ukraine. Her story of perseverance is amazing.
We hope you enjoy the following podcasts. If any of the stories resonate with you, if you're interested in returning to adult education, we're here to help. Contact our information officers. Contact Rebecca in Swords on 01 8408 946 or Kevin in Balbriggan on 01 841 7763. You can have a chat with them to discuss your options and find out the correct learning path for you. Anna, welcome to our podcast, The Learner's Voice. So you're our first victim. So we're just going to ask you, tell us a bit about yourself. How did you end up with Adult Education Services, Balbriggan and Swords? And it, as much as you're comfortable with telling us where you're from, maybe for okay, starting.
My name is Anna. I'm in my mid-30s. I'm a single mom and I came from Ukraine. Actually, I fled the war. Okay. The street shooting was 10 minutes by walk from where we were.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing these bumps make you worrying because, you know, it's like, be careful, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, at the end of last March, I grabbed my two children and just wanted to get out from Ukraine. So that's why I'm here. My youngest child started, it was his birthday, like 1 year old.
Oh.
Yeah, and we missed that celebration because we spent the day in the shelter.
Oh, wow.
And I lost my restaurant because of the war, as well as I actually lost everything. So I had to build a new life here from scratch.
Yeah. Wow. So did you literally come with nothing? Like you grabbed your two children?
Did you have to go on the train? I had two backpacks. We were wearing, what we were wearing was all our clothes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had two backpacks and two children and that's it.
That's it.
Can I add, do you mind? And if you don't want to tell us, that's fine. But I, as a parent of three children, would have travelled on. And that was always very stressful, just travelling with children for a holiday. But what was your journey like from Ukraine to Ireland? Because your distress must have been incredible, or do you just go into this coping mechanism of, okay, I have to get out of here? How did you end up coming to Ireland? Did you choose Ireland or, you know...
Like we spent about a week in the shelter,
right.
And then we just wanted to cross the border. And at the very beginning, I didn't know where I'm going. But actually, we ended up by crossing the border with Hungary.
Okay.
Because it was easy to get there because we had like huge queues, lines.
Yeah.
The border. I mean, you had to stay there like days, not hours,
wow.
Just to cross it. And
was there people providing food? Was there somewhere to, like, how do you manage with if your child is one? How do you keep your
stand
eyes
in
on
a queue them? And yeah.
We crossed the border by train.
Okay.
There is this train that is going from Uzhgorod, that's the city in the western part of Ukraine, like close to the border.
Okay.
And the Zakhany is the Hungarian place from that side. So the whole trip takes you about 20 minutes.
Normally.
But you actually cross the border.
Yeah.
So when we get there, we were exhausted actually. And there were like volunteers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They just grabbed us there like strangers. I never saw him, that guy who offered help to us. And we booked my friend from Paris. She is my best friend from my childhood, and she lives in Paris.
Okay.
And she's a godmother of my older son. And she was waiting for us, and she booked an Airbnb apartment in Budapest.
Right.
And there we spent like 5 days, I believe. So, but having that 5 days, I was able to like calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to decide where I want to go next. And because you have English here.
Yeah.
And because I used to come to Dublin to the Google office, so I was here maybe okay. 6 times before, but it's unlike
no, it didn't.
I like
different
like living here. Yeah.
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 It's just you come, they entertain you because you're their client.
You see the best side of Dublin.
Yeah. yeah.
But here it's completely different situation. And because I was able to speak English, not yeah. perfectly, but at least some English I knew, and like German or French,
yeah.
like I don't know any French word. So
okay.
I decided that it will be here. And
was it easy then to get from Hungary?
Yeah, by plane it's easy.
But you had to have money behind you, obviously, to book your flights.
So. Yeah, I had some savings.
Yeah.
So it helped me to live here, like during 3 months maybe.
Yeah.
But then, actually, Irish. I mean, the whole country, they pay social
welfare. Yeah.
Mm.
yeah. Yeah,
yeah, which I don't get anymore because I work, but
yeah.
it's okay. It was
it
really
helpful. It helped you at the beginning,
helpful at the beginning. And I met a girl, her name is Lucy, and she's the only and my best friend here now, and her mom. So her mom became like stepmom to me.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
And I
how did you meet them, Anna?
Like the girl I knew another guy, and that guy knew Lucy. So it's
yeah.
all like references.
Yeah.
And
was that as soon as you arrived? Like when you got to Dublin, what actually happened?
That guy that I that my friend of the friend knew him, he met us at the airport, and he brought us to the apartment of a family. So there are the family of two elderly people, and it was an apartment of his daughter because the daughter was living in Australia.
Right.
So we had 10 days because the daughter was coming back home.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and we had 10 days there at that apartment. I actually still communicate with him. His name is Terry.
Yeah.
And with his wife. And because his wife likes like real letters written by on paper by pen.
Yeah.
So I should have often. But we lettering.
You sent her a letter.
Yeah. And she replies always.
Ah,
yes.
Lovely.
And
you have a pen pal in Ireland.
Yeah, actually, as many letters as I keep getting here from the government and people, I never got them in Ukraine because we just don't have this lettering. It's just gone.
It's not done.
Yeah.
It's a dying art,
but it's what I like actually.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
most of our letters are from the government.
Yeah, but
or
it's
the
fine, you know.
Yeah.
I open my this letter box, post box, and I'm happy when there is the letter.
Yeah.
So it's good.
So before you found yourself having to flee your country, what was your life like? So what was your education background, back in Ukraine?
I had the happiest life you can imagine there. So I lived in the historical center of Kyiv. I owned an apartment and I owned a restaurant. And also, I used to be an IT worker in the Ukrainian IT company. I used to be a business analyst. About my education, so I graduated from two universities actually, and that's it.
Okay, so what did you do in university
It's Dutch specialties. It's like manufacturing of machines and apparatus and foreign trade activity, and I also was educating myself during my whole life. So there is this Udemy platform and you can do courses there.
Okay.
So I did maybe 10. I just like the learning.
So you have a history of lifelong learning and continual development as a person in terms of, so you have a professional learning and then you've a natural interest in continue to learn.
Yeah, but I never worked by the speciality that I got at the university. So my story is to be able to pay for the university.
Yeah.
I should work. I started to work to be able to pay.
To
but
pay
then
for...
that speciality, like, I stuck there because I kind of liked that there.
And I presume is the system very different in Ukraine? So here in Ireland, there's this theory of free education when you go to what we call university, but there's still a fee attached of up to 3,000 or 3,500. As a school leaver in the Ukraine, is a university third level education free or do you have to pay for it?
We have different.
Okay.
So if you have good marks in school and if you pass your exams with good marks, so you can enter as a free student and you will be getting, we call it stipendia, like they pay you, the government pay you.
Like a grant,
yeah,
like we would have Susie grant here, yeah.
Yeah, but there are some specialities like the most modern and the huge demand. They also have free places, but the competition is high.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's almost impossible to get this free
to
place.
To have a free
so
education.
You have to pay.
And what would the cost be?
It's really different. And because I graduated in 2009.
Yeah.
So the price was like completely different from what they have now.
Yeah.
It's affordable.
It is affordable.
Yeah, it's not
yeah.
what you have here.
Yeah.
We do have like campuses as well.
Yeah.
And some students, if they want, they can live there.
Yeah.
And we do have like subsidies as well for children with special circumstances, like if you don't have parents. Like, I don't know the exact list, but we have something like this.
Yeah.
Okay. That was like last March, you're probably into April, May. Did you go looking for English language classes at that stage or?
Not at the beginning. It took me maybe 5-6 months just to get able to do at least anything.
Okay.
So I spent months just
obsessed
being at home,
and yeah.
Just being at home and
yeah.
reading news about Ukraine. And actually I thought that I will go back home soon nobody thought that
the war
will long so long will last.
So
yeah.
There's probably a part of you and you can only imagine it, like the trauma of having to flee your country and leave everything and then you're coming to a new country and you probably moved around
and you're completely alone.
Nobody's
here.
Your family at home, are they still there or?
No, my parents moved to another country.
Okay.
So we communicate rarely and I never see them because it's just difficult to travel with two children,
yeah.
and it's difficult to travel for them too.
Yeah.
And all my friends, they are all over the
different
world
places
too.
Everybody's
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
It's just from our perspective, as a service provider, we started very quickly doing information sessions, and thanks, we have a staff member who is from Ukraine who was able to translate our literature for us, and she was also, after her work hours, going and volunteering in the hotels where people were being placed when they came mm-hmm. off the planes and stuff like that. So we had great insight into people's experience, but it really impacted us meeting people and hearing their stories. And you know, you look at the beautiful photographs of Ukraine, and it was a very progressive country and beautiful architecture, and it just,
it's Olga is who works with us, who's from Ukraine, and the sense of humor that you have is similar to Irish. Do you think that
the
cultures are similar? Would you say you feel a little bit like the people that you're talking to are similar, or
it depends? But then I also entered TU Dublin, so I study data science there now. It's the postgraduate education, and I am graduating this summer.
Good woman.
You know, because I do need the European education, diploma. I do need it, but actually, I do like data science.
Yeah, is and that TU in Grange Gorman or which?
Yeah.
What subject are you?
I don't know. It's with? It's Grange Gorman. I never can pronounce.
Yeah, yeah.
But we all study online.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think of studying online?
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
With the kids, they can be with you.
Well, it makes it accessible for you,
But what I wanted to say is that those people in my group, they are all about my age. And I like communicating to them, to speaking to them. And I do feel that we have similar sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that's a mixed class of different nationalities, so to be?
There are some different nationalities, but mostly there are Irish.
Okay.
So would you get to physically go and meet them if it's an online course?
Like a couple of times. They have classes on site.
Yeah.
But only 3 weeks in a semester.
Okay.
So I...
Ever socially, you know, what about social life?
We do have this group where we talk to each other, and it's actually good.
Yeah.
And like I made a couple of friends there, not maybe close friends, but we communicate. So I even was on a date.
Did you go on a date through college? You met somebody through college?
Yeah, there was the guy who asked me for a date, and I was once.
It was Irish, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep that up. Is there a difference between Irish and Ukrainian men?
it never worked.
It didn't work. Okay.
It didn't work.
We try again. But one of the reasons we were interested in listening to your story, because you sent actually Hannah a lovely thank you, didn't you, in an email, and just saying how much you appreciated.
Yeah, I actually do. And I should have sent it earlier, because I got this job offer at the end of the autumn, and I started to work there on 3rd January, and I actually tried to continue studying here.
Doing both,
but it's so complicated to combine like momming, studying at the university, working, and also English, and I had to
decide
between. And at the beginning I asked Hannah to be moved to the evening group, but because because it's Mondays, and because I have my TU Dublin lectures on Mondays, so I thought that I will be able to combine, but it's impossible.
It didn't work.
I know, and sometimes you have to make that good decision in terms of being a parent, and especially being a lone parent, that you can't do everything and you have to prioritize, you know, and Called, but as I said, you sent, and it was for Hannah, and I suppose for our service, it was lovely to hear that feedback because you were very complimentary in you know, and I suppose that's the other thing, people's learning journeys are all different. So you had a short experience with us in terms of a few months, but it obviously had an impact on you.
Yeah,
and then some people are with us for a few years. So
What was your English like when you arrived to compared to now?
Much worse.
Much worse.
Well, you've great English.
Yeah.
Thanks to Anna, my English became like structured. You know, I sort of understood how the language works.
Yeah.
And I do make mistakes like often.
Yeah.
But it's much better really than it was. And I never learned English before. So in the school I had German as well as at the university.
Yeah.
So I studied German during 10 years. I know nothing. I can say nothing in German.
No, that's Irish. Like also an Irish, yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, I know the only word is the Zensur, the Kaiten. That's all I know.
Because we all have our couple of fuckle.
Yeah. That's not a curse, by the way. She looks kind of...
couple of words. Oscuelga in Irish. But sometimes I think it goes back to how it was taught and... where they concentrated more on written when back in the day, because I'm 56 now, but back in the day it was more written and writing stories as opposed to learning the love of the language and how to communicate or converse in the language. Now it has changed in schools, but
so you study now in English,
and
do you find that hard?
No.
So you've really just picked it up in the last
year. Yeah, it's okay. Like. Because I know the topic, because data science is what I know.
Yes,
in Ukraine,
you're comfortable.
But I know the topic.
So if you have a mathematical brain, then
And it's actually easy. So it's more difficult for me to understand people. We have meetings, like online meetings with my group mates, because we were breaking down into small groups and in which group for three people, and it's more difficult for me to be there in that group because they all speak fast and with this Irish accent, which is difficult to understand. But the lecturer, no problem.
That's good. That's very good.
Do you mind me asking how the kids are? How's their English language or how they assimilate into life?
Oh, their English is much better than my kids.
So, is your eldest son in school?
Or, yes. Yeah. He's in school from the very first week because this girl, Lucy, she was in that school.
Okay.
And she knew, because I live in Malahide, it's a tiny
beautiful
village.
Town, beautiful.
Yeah. But tiny, so everybody knows
everybody.
And she just asked her priest if they have a place. And they offer a place for my child. And he was really stressed.
Yeah,
because he was like, "Mommy, how can I study there? I can say nothing. I don't know even one English word." And I was like, "Okay, let me teach you. Like, you can say hello." Hi. But I was impressed by the how school got prepared. To have a child from Ukraine. So
What kind of things did they do then? Did they buddy up somebody with him?
They created like cards. There was a small cartoon and the word like I'm sad. I feel pain. Like there were about maybe 30 of these different cards. I need to the toilet, call my mommy. So because there was a cartoon. If he has a problem, he can just show the card and the school will decide what to do.
So it's a tool of communication.
They allocated a special teacher to teach him English and also like a special needs assistant. So there was a girl sitting next to him and just helping him, like maybe explaining slowly and with this science, you know, so he can understand the topic. But in 6 months, he was completely okay.
Wow. Really? So speaking English fluently?
It took him 6 months.
Wow.
But I, like only English cartoons, videos, movies were allowed
home.
At the home. Yeah. And because we have no Ukrainian speaking people around, so he had no choice.
Yeah.
So you speak in English at home? Then,
well,
do you?
No. At home,
at home you speak Ukrainian. So okay, to keep the culture alive and to keep
and because with it's easier.
And okay. To say get ready for bed and all that things.
Kids with like my sister lives in Norway and her kids
they can speak the two languages.
Yeah. And they just go from one to the other. They used to what you call it, interpret for us at two what was going on. So.
Yeah, and I can say that his English is more like natural,
fluid.
He keep using these idioms, like
local saying.
Can I just add or ask you about where you are now as a business analyst? So job wise, we didn't really go into that.
The office is in Blanchardstown, so. To be able to get there, I had to get the driving license, and I also bought a used car. And but I mostly work from home.
Okay.
So the plan is to graduate from the university, and maybe to apply for promotion.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's the short term plan. I work from office today, mostly I work from home.
Yeah.
That's one benefit from COVID, that there's remote working, you know.
And my baby is in crash.
Yeah.
And you asked me about the older one, but the baby, he just starts speaking at all. And he speaks English, actually.
Wow. And has he got an Irish accent yet? No?
It's difficult to say, but he's like, oh, no. Yeah, because in crash they speak English, and because they speak a lot to children, so he knows more English words than Ukrainian, and maybe because English words they are like easier to pronounce, like hi or privit, or like bye or do побачення.
Oh wow, is that the difference?
Yeah.
That's mad.
Wow.
That is mad.
But he starts speaking English, but not Ukrainian. So.
My one of my best friends, she went to live in England, and her daughter had a really English accent. But she moved her back when she was 8 years old back to Ireland. Now she's got a Dublin accent. So you have quite a time before you know where they're going to, you know, what their little voice is going to be forever.
Yeah, and the. Now it's just difficult to say if he has an accent at all.
Yeah,
but and maybe because they watch this Svinka Peppa, they have this accent there.
Well,
in Svinka Peppa.
It's funny, my oldest nephew had what we called a mid-Atlantic accent, so kind of an American twang, and it was purely from TV that he picked it up because he's from Balbriggan, but you know, the.
Yeah, my kids would be similar. They'd say like garbage instead of bin. It's the way we all grew up knowing. Yeah, it's funny.
You're in a lovely location. So like in Kiev, you wouldn't have been beside the sea, would you?
We have the Dnipro River in Kiev, and it's actually a huge, wide river.
So it feels nearly like the sea.
You didn't have the Irish Sea.
Living here, especially in Malahide, is completely different because the population of Kiev is 5 million people.
Yeah.
So
that's
so
like
you really think little village.
But maybe after all this war situation and stress, now I can say that this Malahide is the best what could happen to me.
To be honest, like It's a beautiful little town. Like it's a place that you'd love to live. So
we worked closely with another person from the Ukraine, because they did a lot of translations for us, and like that she ended up in Malahide initially, but unfortunately had to leave her son and husband behind. And she says, can you imagine my guilt? I wake up, I look out my window, I'm seeing beautiful sea, I'm surrounded by. And she, like that, landed on her feet with her daughter. But there was parts of it that she couldn't enjoy, obviously, because you're leaving. Like, I couldn't imagine that having to leave.
It's a lovely life, I'm sure, but would you swap it to go back to Ukraine?
It's like people keep asking me this question, I don't have an answer.
You're not sure yet.
The war is not ended.
Yeah. Mm.
And I cannot decide.
No.
And your friends and your family are different places at the moment. So,
like, what I feel is I feel lonely here.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I like the nature and I like people around, and as much love and support as I got during this last year, I've never thought that I can get so much love and support from strangers.
Right.
Yeah, but it's like you cannot enjoy it because all your thoughts are in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I keep reading news, watching movies, I keep crying because every time
worried.
Like there are some moments when you cannot not to cry.
Yeah.
So
it's an unimaginable to, like, and at the end of the day, it's not home. You know, your home is the Ukraine. And I think when it happened, everybody's wish and hope was that this would be very short and it would be over and people would come to their senses.
In a week or three or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have to say, from our experience of Ukrainians coming into, you know, you haven't just sat back.
No.
You know, you're proactive. You're creating a life. You haven't put your life on hold. You're creating your life. You're getting involved. You're doing your college. You did your English and you're working. You know, so hopefully you'd be best placed when things.
We'll see. It's like difficult to plan.
You can't plan. Yeah. And it was absolutely lovely to talk to you. It's an incredible story. And thank you so much for coming in and sharing. It is, you know.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
very much. Single mothers, single parents everywhere, and people who learn and move on. So well done.